Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. I'm a businesswoman, author, and speaker. I've written 4 books. The first, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And then I went on to write Unveiling Secrets from the Heart, Forgiving Your Past to Free Your Future. Then Restored Vessels, Young Adults Overcoming Adversities, and my first ebook, which is called Unlimited Possibilities, The Road to Restoration. We have a couple of announcements. I'm going to be doing a Fight for Your Dream event. It's your time here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at the Sheraton Implantation. You may visit my website, arisebyvnp.com. That's arisebyvnp.com, and find out information about how to register for the Fight for Your Dreams tour and also the lineup of speakers I will be having. And then that's October 19th, and then November 3rd we'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. So please keep checking the website, look at your emails, check me on Facebook. Those of you that haven't connected with me on Facebook, by all means, please visit Valerie Parker on Facebook, and also The Soul of a Woman is on Facebook. I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Yes. Good evening, everyone. I am an entrepreneur, business owner. I have an entertainment company, Phenomenal Entertainment, and I also have a breast cancer organization, Against All Odds. You can also reach me on Facebook. And you can visit my website, PhenomenalEntertainmentLTD.com. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, Shirley, it's always a pleasure to have you. And you, my listening audience, thank you so much for also being my co-host on numerous occasions. We're going to have an exciting show tonight. We're going to be talking about love, lies, and relationships. Every time we talk about relationships, Shirley, I mean my switchboard is bombarded and the listenership, the tapes get replayed and replayed. And, you know, I'm so happy to be able to have this platform for individuals to share and talk about what's on their hearts, what's on their minds. And it's also especially good for us to hear what's on the hearts of men. And when I say what's on the hearts of men, some of the ladies say, well, I want to share about what's on my heart. Well, it's fine that you can do that too, but most times when we're talking about relationships, the men are often silent. So we want to unsilence them. And when we talk about different topics such as this, you don't have to give your real name. You don't have to give your name at all, or you can just use an alias name. It is fine. And that's why shows like this was created, to be a platform so that we can talk about social issues, relationships, family, finances. And by all means, those of you that are listening in, you know, I've been talking the last couple of weeks about registration to vote. Please register to vote. Do not give up the right to vote, to cast your opinion so that your voice may be heard. As we move into relationships, Shirley, you know, I was reminded of a story that my pastor, Henry Fernandez, spoke about a couple of Sundays ago. And for those of you that are not familiar with his work, he has a new book out called Faith, Family, and Finances. And he got to talking about relationships. And one of the things he said was, you know, this day and time, this dispensation that we're in, that a lot of times we want to try out the vehicle before we buy it. And he was talking as it relates to people getting married, that a lot of people now are not getting married. They'd rather shack, which is living together, or they just simply just, you know, don't do anything. They just become habitual daters, no commitment, and that's where it's gone, where people don't want to commit. And, you know, for those of us that have slid over to the 50 side, it has gotten a little rough on that side of the mountain, because the pickings are even less, because we have those individuals that are aging as we're aging, and they're faced with different physical ailments, as it would be physical ailments, male and female. I'm not just talking about the men having the physical ailments, but we as women too, we go through the menopausal stage, and then most of the times at our age, we've had children and they're still either growing or we're in a situation where we're raising grandchildren, et cetera. And then the men are in the aspect where they're having to take Viagra and they have blood pressure medication. So it causes all types of frictions and stuff. So back to what I was saying about my pastor when he was talking about then, he was saying that nobody wants to be transparent anymore. Nobody wants to be real. And I talk about that in my book, From the Soul of a Woman, Love Shouldn't Hurt. And one of the things I share in there is that I believe wholeheartedly, 100%, that whatever relationship that you're in that's a serious relationship, that you should expose all of who you are because of the fact that it gives that person that you're dating the opportunity to choose. See, when you begin to lie about your belief system, it causes havoc in the relationship later. Why? Because you weren't transparent, and what you see wasn't what you got. And Pastor Fernandez talked about how this couple got married, and they didn't test drive the equipment before they bought it, and it was the wedding night. The wedding was over. They were in the hotel room, and it said that the gentleman had gotten undressed, and he was in the room sitting in the bed waiting for his bride to come out, and she was taking so long in the bathroom that he went and knocked on the door and asked, was she all right? And she was like, yeah, I'm okay, I'm coming. And he went back to the bed, and she took another long time. So then this time he knocked on the door and said, honey, are you all right? And then he knocked on the he said, well, can I come in? So she opened the door for him to come in, and when he came in, he saw parts of her body all over the sink. He saw teeth on the sink. He saw padding for her bra on the sink. Her eyelashes was on the sink. And he said that person had, you know, it was like, wow, who is this woman that's in my bathroom? Where did my wife go? And that's how it is sometimes. You know, we hide and camouflage who we are, and we wake up that next morning, and it's like, whoa, what happened? I remember the song back in the day when I was coming along, and it was like the song was like, she looked better in the dark. Shirley, you ever been to the nightclub and it's dark out there? And it happened to me when I was hanging out. It was dark in the club, and, you know, some people do look better in the shadow. Some people do look better in the shadow. So this individual, one time I went out with this person, and he looked really nice in the dark. And then he asked, could he walk me to the subway because I was in New York. So I was like, sure, you know, fine. As we began walking, it was dark and everything, and you know, he still looked okay. But the closer we got to the light, I started seeing all kind of things I did not see while we were in the club. Why? Because it was dark. And that's how it is as we go into relationships a lot of time. We're walking in the shadow of what we want people to think we are or what we want them to see. Okay,
it's
Shirley,
that illusion.
You have four.
It's that illusion, okay? But, you know, when that illusion comes in, you see a silhouette. And that silhouette sometimes can be, most silhouettes are beautiful. You don't see any flaws. You just see the silhouette. And that's why you heard that saying before about love is blind, or you're looking at a person through rose-colored glasses. And this day and time, it's really, really, really hard to really know who you're really dating or about to marry. And even in a situation where you may, most of the time, if you have not lived with that person, that's why people, when they do live with them, a lot of times they don't get married. They end up staying in the relationship as a live-in partner, because of the things, the silhouette starts to melt and all of that layers and layers and layers of camouflage begin to melt together, and then they begin to see the whole person. In the dating area, when you're just dating someone, people tend not to be transparent. And it's not because, I don't think it's because they don't want to be. Val, I think it's more of a situation where when we get to a certain age, that they've gone through so much in life, whether it's relationships that they're, you know, they've been through, family relationship, job relationship. There's so many different relationships that a person go through in life. That's why life, you don't just go through life, you have to grow in life. And if you don't allow yourself to grow in life, you're going to be dealing with all these different situations and piling on all these layers of protection that you are not transparent. Because when you pile on those layers of protection, your skin becomes tougher, your soul becomes tougher, your heart becomes tougher. You're not softening up to let someone see who you really are because you let that four-letter word come in, which is fear. It's not love, it's fear. And this is my perspective on it. When that fear sets in, the guard comes up, and then we as women, we have the makeup that we put on, and it's not just the foundation and all that. Like you were just saying about the lashes and the eyes, eyelashes and the teeth and all of that. We have the hair, the wigs, the weaves. And the men have, they go bald. They wear the hats. They get the enhancers. They use Viagra. And it gets to a point that who's real? Where's the real person at? Because we start looking at ourselves as that we have to come up to a certain standard, or we have to meet a certain level. And every time we raise that bar, we're looking for someone that can come over that bar, not under the radar, over it. And that seems to be the person that we set our goals for. But all the time, if we are not careful, we lose our own identity and who we are. And it's funny you're saying that she stayed in the bathroom. When you were telling the story, I was picturing this. And the only thing I could come up with was when I thought about why she was in the bathroom so long is that this was the time that she had to come out and say, this is who I am. This is me. All the layers she had to peel off. She peeled off the physical things. And now she had to expose herself emotionally as to who she was. She's married. And could she really face him? So Val been saying that. How do we get past all of this? What is your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm going to open up the line shortly, and I will be calling individuals that have their hand up by your last four digits of your phone number. And as I said, when I open up the lines, you don't have to say who you are. You can use an alias name, and we can carry on the conversation for that because, you know, this is a talk show, so we have interaction going on. But one of the things, the main things that I think that individuals need to get back to is the total perspective. Reposition your mind, your process, and make sure that when you do marry that individual, that it is love and not lust. Because when I opened up and I was talking about we're faced with disabilities, with ailments, with blood pressure medicine and heart disease, and God forbid, you know, the night of the wedding, your spouse has a heart attack, or somebody dies within a few months of being married, the tragedy of all of that. It's a lot of adjustment that has to be done in situations like that. And am I saying, well, Valerie, I may as well stay alone. I may as well not get into it. And especially when you are of a certain age, why even bother? I've heard a lot of men say, I'm not doing it again as far as marriage is concerned, especially when
they're over 50 or have been married more than one time. And they say they're not getting married again because they remember the trauma from that first marriage, the adjustment. Now, you know, Shirley, we are emotional beings and we go through somersaults in our life, but a lot of times men go through somersaults too, so we have to put up with them, not hold, putting up the toilet seat. I know when I was married, one of my pet peeves that with my ex was he used to take off his socks and they would be balled up all over the floor and, you know, leave his underwear in the floor in the bathroom and, of course, not the toilet seat. And of all times that makes me just cringe sometimes is the toothpaste. I mean, you take the toothpaste and then you just squeeze it from the middle and the thing is all mangy looking. It's like, ugh. And every day for 17 years until we divorced 19 years later, I would smooth out, put the top back on the toothpaste and just smooth it out so that it could be nice and pretty so that when somebody else wants to use the toothpaste, it doesn't look all battered and mangy like it's something that you took out of a garbage can. So, you know, there's always a lot of adjustments and things that we have to do as human beings, but in the adjustment, in the process, everything is a process, and are we willing to adapt? Are we willing to go through the process? And in giving up the process, does that mean we have to die to who we are in order for the relationship to be what it needs to be? And that is the question that I'm opening up the floor for as it relates to relationships. I have someone's hand up on 3501 is the last four digits of that number, 3501. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. My name is Dwayne. I don't mind using my first name.
thank you.
Not a problem. Great topic and information. I've been married 30 years, so having gone through the adjustments and different things to deal with, as you talked about, and also I'm an author of a new book called Some Things to Know About Marriage Before You Have a Wedding and After Too.
Ooh.
And
how can we get that?
Well, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and AuthorHouse.com, and I have a Facebook page, Things to Know About Marriage. And in dealing with those things, the very things that you talk about, getting to know one another, there's a section in the book that I call Observation, Demonstration, and Conversation. Paying attention when you're getting to know the person will let you know, you know, some of their transparencies and if you want to deal with them, you know, later on down the road, and some things you won't be shocked about. For instance, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody and then 5 years down the road you're upset because, you know, Reggie is a slob. Well, Reggie was always a slob. You were just so in love you didn't pay attention. And so we have to learn how to pay attention to those things as we go along, and then we decide whether or not we want to be a part of it, as you were talking about being transparent and understanding the differences, you know, people's own baggage and what they bring to the relationship. And I think those things will help a person, you know, last longer in a relationship, or even if they decide to get into a committed relationship after they go through the process, as you said.
And you spoke about baggage. Can you elaborate on some of the baggages that you found? And I'm sure that you, when in writing your book, you did some type of research or used some people for guinea pigs.
Yes. Well, based on one, my 30 years, and, you know, in that time, I made a few mistakes. Just a few.
Just a few?
Yeah, well, that's the way I'm telling it. My wife's not here, so we're not going to ask her.
Okay.
But making, you know, those errors, and then being in ministry, having dealt with couples in workshops and stuff, so I used some of their, you know, examples, and also I took a survey of couples who have been married from like 2 to 22 years and asked them what are the things that they wish they knew before they got married. And, you know, speaking of baggage, people bring their own baggage, their own issues, the way they were raised, you know, things that they grew up with, and having to gel those different backgrounds into one relationship and not having to necessarily give up who I am, but just who I am becomes a part of this new unit. called we. And then, you know, if we can make that work, and you can, if I'm willing to, you know, let my issues come into play and join up with your issues, and then those who that aren't good for one another, for the, you know, whole unit, we have to put those on the back burner, because we have to, one of the things I teach people is that, you know, one of the partnership principles is that we have to think we instead of me. But everybody brings issues to a relationship, and, you know, baggage and how you were raised. I was raised, I had brothers. My wife has all sisters. So I wasn't used to certain things, you know, rollers and emotional responses, because, you know, all guys, you do something I don't like, I'll pop you. And, you know, all those kind of things. That's the way me and my brothers raised. I wasn't used to emotional baggage. But getting married, you have to deal with that. And so everybody has their own baggage, and how you're going to deal with it determines whether or not you're going to have a successful relationship or not.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, and please stay on the line, because I will probably be calling on you again to help us in this conversation, because, you know, I have some other young men that are holding and stuff, but they told me to wait a minute before I call on them. So I will continue to talk, and because, as I said, you know, it's always the women when they're in relationships and their heart is broken, they always say, why did Johnny do me like that? Why? You know?
Right.
And a lot of times it's because we allow Johnny to do it. Because of the fact that we want so much to be loved, we want so much that we sacrifice, as again I say, we sacrifice who we are. Why are you willing to lay down who you are when the other person really doesn't care? Because a lot of times they just want to get what they want to get as well, and sometimes they may choose to marry you and sometimes they don't. So one of the things that I want ladies to know is, you don't have to give your bodies up to someone in order to prove or show to them that you love. That giving your body up is giving away yourself. So in saying that, the next question is, what happens when you do give it up and then he disappears? Because so often that happens.
Well, yeah, that does happen a lot often. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well, Shirley, you have a comment before we let Dwayne say?
I have a comment about that, is that when they disappear, my opinion of that is when you give up yourself like that and they disappear, a lot of men would disappear, in my opinion, is because they feel like if you were so easy with them, then how many other people, guys, have you been easy with? And they don't want that. I find that men want more of a challenge, that they want to say that I worked or I earned that from her because she trusted me enough to give herself to me. That I find that if a woman gives herself too soon to a man or right away, that it's a turnoff for a man. That men are more apt to be more challenged with the woman and find more interest in her if it is someone that can capture their attention in more than just a sexual way. A man does not, you know, he does not talk a lot, but it stimulates his mind. You hold his interest more when you can stimulate his mind. A body he knows can come and go. And if he can easily get your body, then you're not a challenge. Then you become an easy person. And then you would be that sometime or that maybe or anytime. That's my opinion on it.
Dwayne?
Well, it's very important to understand what type of person you're getting. Are you getting a man or are you just getting a male? And a male, you know, a guy that just wants to, you know, get in your pants, you can, if you pay attention, you can pretty much, you know, figure that out. because, you know, guys will, real men will probably show I love you before they say the words I love you. And oftentimes, you know, when a guy wants something, he'll say what he wants you, what you want to hear. And I've heard it said that, you know, women will get sex to hear I love you, and a man will say I love you to get sex. But a real man that really wants to be with you, you can determine that by how he behaves, if he's real quick to get in your pants, and what other things that he's done. Is he really about a relationship with you? That's where conversation comes in. That's where paying attention comes in. That's where one of the things I talk about in the book is you need to know what you want. Do you want somebody, anybody, or just a body? So you need to know what you want, and then you can have those standards set up to get what you want. And if this person is lining up with those standards, you can know that before you take your clothes off. And if they're in line with their those standards, okay, then we can go to the next step further, depending on what your moral beliefs are. You know, that's a decision that you can make. But you can know all that by paying attention. Every guy is not necessarily trying to get in somebody's pants, as many people may believe. And as our sister just said, that, you know, he wants to know, what can you do? Can you stimulate his mind? Not just, you know, taking your clothes off, because anybody can do that. That's a real man now, somebody that wants a long-term relationship.
Well, the other piece to that is also that we have the abilities to be great performers. We are able to be chameleons, to be what individuals want us to be, and for to see what they want us to see.
Right.
I'll use myself for an example. When I first got married, my daughter's 30, so 31 years ago. I've been divorced for like 15 years now. But when I first got married, I dated my husband for 3.5 years. Mm-hmm. And we didn't test drive anything. There were warning signs about abuse where he had, you know, explosive behavior, but he never touched me. But see, I had never been a witness to that, so I didn't know what it was to identify it as that it would be abusive behavior later to me. And plus, he was in ministry. You know, ultimately wound up being a pastor. We wound up pastoring a church. So, you know, being a victim of domestic violence for all those years, I saw the chameleon. I saw him with the ability to transform from home to street to work. And, I mean, everybody loved him. He was very charismatic. But at home, he was a different person sometimes. It wasn't always enraged, but at different times, it would be explosive. So individuals have the ability to camouflage who they are, to be chameleons, to adapt to the environment. That's what a chameleon does. They adapt. And how do we know, because you say that a man will show you he loves you. Mine used to show me all the time. That's why I wound up marrying him, because, you know, he showered me with things. We did places. He was a perfect gentleman, opened the door, and, you know, and 30 days into the marriage, he hit me. So it's very difficult, I find, you know, and especially in this dispensation when the pickings are real slim and, you know, there's so much sexual tension and anxieties and where people don't even know if they want to be with a man or a woman, which goes against God's order. It's so much of that going on to the confusion where women is like, I don't want to deal with men because there's too much pain there. At least with a woman, I can identify with the woman. And then the men, you know, they'll tolerate a woman but not celebrate a woman.
Oh, that's very good.
So where are we to go?
There's a section in the book called Are You Prepared?
Thank you so much, Dwayne, for being the guinea pig tonight. since all haven't showed up or haven't put their hand up. You know, I see them there, but nobody's waving at me. So if you want to join in or have a question or comment, please press 1.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity. Not a problem. But there's a chapter in my book called Are You Prepared or Are You Just Ready? And there's a difference between being ready and being prepared. Sometimes my wife and I will get ready to go someplace, and I ask her, are you ready? She'll say, yes, just let me do da-da-da-da-da. And in my mind, I've learned to think this and not say it now, but in my mind I say, well, if you have to do something, then you're not ready, you know, because that's the way men think. But like I said, I think that now. I don't say it. When I was young and stupid, I used to say it. But we have to be prepared for a marriage, not just, you know, ready to get married. And observing, as you said, observing some signs, and then, you know, if there are signs or red flags that go up for whatever it is, if it's, you know, explosive behavior or a person that's lazy and doesn't want to work or any of those things, you know, we can see those things after a period of time. We can see signs of them. As you said, people can be chameleons. But your true nature is going to come out eventually. And so, you know, looking at those signs, paying attention, and then, you know, this is where communication comes in. I believe you said earlier that sometimes people don't want to be transparent. And one of my mentors, Bishop Kenneth Ulmer, always taught me that you have to be able to ask her the hard questions. And sometimes in a relationship, we don't want to ask and deal with the hard, tough questions early in a relationship. But if this relationship is going to a place of commitment or some permanence, you know, at some point before you get, you know, into, you know, the relationship where we're living together or we're married, you may want to ask the hard questions if you see a red flag come up, because, you know, you can determine at that point if I want to be a part of this for the next 20 years. Are we going to get some help for this? Are you willing to admit it? Because there's another statement in the book that I say that you cannot fix what you will not face. So are you willing to own up to this? Because the evidence is there, but nothing can happen until you, the individual, admits that it exists. And if you're willing to do that, we may be able to work together. But if I see it and you're not willing to admit it, you know, red flag goes up. Do I want to be a part of this for the next 30 years?
And, you know, I'm a life coach as well. And
great.
One of the processes that I take individuals through is pulling back the layers, because a lot of times when the reason why you can't function in reality is because a lot of people are living imaginary lives, and from the imaginary lives comes imaginary relationships. I know an individual that was in a relationship that the man didn't even know anything about. And unfortunately, it happens, you know.
Right.
So, you know, we don't want to face our own realities. Who are we? What is it that we feel we have to offer? And that's the thing, that's where the deal breaker comes in, is that low self-esteem. And unfortunately, you know, it's not a lopsided thing. It's not just to women that feel that way. The men feel that way too. They feel inferior, and that's why domestic violence exists, because that person is so insecure about who they are that they feel that they must use their strength to dominate and to overpower someone to love them or make them feel like they're of substance. So the insecurities of men going and having these weekends where they're sleeping with more than one woman at a time, showing their masculinity. So we're confronted with all these different things going on, all these different realities or things that are happening and going on in our society. So, yeah. Shirley, what do you have to say about this? What do you want to add to the table here?
Well, you know, one of the things, you know, when you talk about, you know, all the different aspects of dating and then getting married, I'm going to use myself as an example tonight. I've been married 4 times, 3 different husbands. One, you know, And each one of these men had different characteristics and brought something different to the table. And over the years, I've had a, you know, I'm divorced now, but had an opportunity to think back over them. And, Dwayne, when you talk about the baggage, everyone brings something to the table. And that baggage can range from blended families, jobs, prior relationships, religious. You know, and those things you really don't think about when you start thinking about what are you blending together in this relationship? What do you really want out of this relationship? What is it, the common goal that you both have together? A lot of those things have come to me as I've gotten older. And, Dwayne, as a man, I like to ask you this. In a relationship with a man, as far as from a man perspective, do men really, I've never asked any of my husband this question, do they ever really, really, truly think about the whole woman? Do men get into a relationship thinking of the whole woman or what they see?
Let me, in 4081, I think Dwayne's called, unless he's called in another number, 4081, are you there?
Yes, I would just like to make a comment or two, and I just think that this conversation is just awesomely great. And first of all, I would just like to say that I'm hearing everything you're saying, and I think about disguises and how we as women, so many times we see a disguise, and underneath that disguise, we make the disguise what we want it to be and not who it really is. And then when we kick it into gear and we figure we can change the person, but so many times we use our imagination in trying to pick that person for what we want them to be instead of really seeing the signs, instead of seeing the sign for what it really is. And I had a friend of mine that told me that the signs were always there. And another individual said that when a person shows you who they are, believe them. Whatever kind of behavior that they decide to show you, whenever it is, so many times we ignore it. But we really need to just believe them. And I really like what he said about, are you prepared or are you ready? And that just really just, it just speaks volumes. And I was jotting notes as you talked, and one of my last comments was, if you have to hide who you are as a person, be it a woman or a man, if you have to hide who you are, then that's not the person you need to be with. They should be able to love that whole person. And first of all, you have to love yourself. You have to always remember to love yourself and let no one tear down your self-esteem or who you are. And that's it.
Thank you so much for sharing, caller. I think Dwayne, he's left the line. Let me see. We lost his signal, so hopefully he'll join us back. Thank you, caller, for sharing that information. I have a caller, 2230. You're live on the air.
Valerie, Dr. Parker. This is Captain Mark, Chicago.
Captain Mark, how are you? Thank you so much for joining. We've been talking about love, lives, and relationships.
I know. I have tried my best not to chime in. I'm on Chicago's lakefront sailing right now, but I'm close enough to keep a telephone signal. So if it sounds windy, you know, if you're hearing a lot of wind or something, that's what's happening. But I tried my best not to chime in, but you had so many great comments from your callers that I just had to chime in. His brother was speaking real when he says, you know, he thinks things, but he doesn't say them, you know. But
right.
Some of us have to. Oh, yeah. He's a coward. That's why. Me too. Because I know if you're smart, you better know when to shut up.
You better be very afraid.
That is right. And I can probably speak freely because my better half is not on this call. But ladies, the reality of the situation is that I think that I have some level of expertise on this because I'm a good-looking man. But okay, I'm just a fair-looking man. Okay, I might be butt ugly, but I'm funny and I got a personality. And
you're a nice-looking man.
Thank you, Val.
I've met you, so you are a very nice-looking man.
Oh, my goodness. The thing is I really feel that most of the men who are worth anything are already taken. For the most part, the same thing applies to women. Now, listen to this. Among African-American men in particular, if you take any 10 men off of the street, half of them, well, more than half of them are involved with the criminal justice system in some way. They're either on parole, probation, or either they have had a felony conviction somewhere in their past, which eliminates them from being able to have the type of job, to have insurance and so forth, and make the kind of money to take care of a woman and family. So what do you have left? You might have 4 out of the 10 left. And 2 of them are on the down low. And so you can't do anything with them. The other ones are the other one that you're looking at. He's a married man like myself. So you might have 1 out of 10. Let's keep it real now. You might have 1 out of 10 that you can actually call marriage material, mate material, or whatever. But here's the dilemma that we have as married men who have the type of income that can take care of our family and other families. This is why a lot of cheating goes on. You see, there's a lot of children that need a father. And I find myself, and I know other men too, find themselves in a situation of having to be a male role model for children who have no father. Now, some guys will tell you, okay, you get the sex from the woman as a fringe benefit. That may be so. But the fact is that those of us who are capable of taking care of more than just our family, especially being African American, we have a responsibility to take care of more than our own children. There are so many young men that I spend time with. And I know that these women cannot raise them to be men. They don't have the tools. They're not equipped to teach them how to be men, how to be gentlemen to women, how to be responsible, how to make whatever money they can and bring some of it back home to mama, practicing as children. They trained me as a kid to bring some of the money home, even from my paper route. Or whatever I was doing, I had to pay my way and had to contribute to the household. Those types of trainings, the women are not able to comprehend or understand. And so what does that have to do with relationships? We find ourselves in spending time with these young men and young women. We find ourselves with their mothers, whether we like it or not. And they are looking to us for more than just leadership to be a father figure to their children. They need somebody too. And they just don't have much to choose from. They got a bunch of junk. They don't have much to choose from, Val. You know, and it might sound selfish. It might sound selfish that, you know, hey, you give them what they want. Give them what they're asking for. It's not like that because I'm not a whore. And other men like me are not whores. The thing is that these women are sleeping with each other. They're sleeping with each other because they don't have men to hold them in their arms and to comfort them and make them feel wanted and make them feel warm and like a woman. So they go the gay road, and they have to have some companionship. Like Charles Manson said when he went to jail, when they asked him what was he going to do about sex, he said, sex is no problem. Plenty of sex up in here. But it's all companionship. It's companionship. China. Thank you so much for being real. You know, but it is what it is, and I stand on that.
Well, I do appreciate you for giving your opinion, and it was a very good opinion, too, because the other reality of it all, too, what you said is why women settle for married men, knowing that that man belongs to another woman. They settle because of the loneliness. They settle because they need help with their children. They need extra finances, extra income. They settle. And they're willing to sacrifice pieces of themselves, regardless of how humiliating and how degrading it will become. And also the men are able to take advantage of the situation because they know they can.
They don't feel like they're degraded and humiliated. They don't want to be bothered with a man full time anyway.
Well, a lot of them actually do want one, but, you know, they'll just take what they can get, and the men, you know, they capitalize on that because they know they can have the best of both worlds. Wife at home is nagging, not getting it up, so I'll get me a girlfriend on the side. At least I can drop in and drop out in my imaginary world when I can. But it does not make it right.
No, I've never
that
said
is
that
Dr.
was right.
Captain Mark, and that is Dr. Parker speaking right now.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, doctor. I'm so sorry, doctor. The good doctor knows. And I am not Dr. Love. I'm not Dr. Love. I don't have all the answers. But I do know one thing. I've seen more than one woman invite me to her home and set a bill on the dresser.
Wow. And yes, that is a very good point. You got to pay to play in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah.
And those of you that are... I know a friend, a girlfriend of mine, she was married, and she would cheat on her husband just to eat at Denny's. I was like, girl, if you're going to, drop out on the relationship and stuff, Denny's is not good enough. You need to have them pay something and do something real. And, you know, picking you up for lunch and taking you to Wendy's or McDonald's, that ain't, you know, hey, that's not risk you losing your life.
Look, if she doesn't know anything but Wendy's and Olive Garden, one woman told me the best restaurant in the world is Olive Garden.
Wow. But then, here again, the mentality, the opinion that they create of themselves, how they see themselves, determine how they live their lives. And until you're able to embrace a larger vision of yourself and know that you are worth it, that, you know, the price that's paid is far beyond a Wendy's hamburger and a Denny's eating some pancakes. The price is too great. So thank you once again, Captain Mark, for sharing that. Okay, I have another caller holding. I don't see the number. I'm sorry, I can't see that. I'll flash you in and see if I can get you, but it's unknown. Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I'm calling on Skype. So Skype gives you a random number or no number at all.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, hey, this is Joe Neckbone. How you doing? I'm a blog talk host on another show, but I just wanted to jump in real quick. Something you have to realize is that when men and women are little girls are given dolls. And if you think back, for every age you were, there was a doll. And I pretty much can guarantee you that that doll had a wedding dress or some type of wedding event associated with it, unless you had a Cabbage Patch Kid. And so all throughout a woman's life, she is being manipulated subtly with these imagery of dolls. Barbie has Ken. Ken is the ultimate man because he is pretty much neutered, you know, from his testosterone. Ken is the ultimate, never say no guy. You know, he'll dress in all kinds of things based on what Barbie does. So, you know, all through a woman's life, she has these dolls. But you know what? Little boys don't have them. I defy anybody to come to me and show me a doll or an action figure or any sort of imagery for a little boy that depicts marriage. You can't find it. All right. And so you don't find it in TV. You don't find it in media at all. little boys are not introduced to marriage until they're young men. So right away, you have two divergent paths where you have women who have already been socialized to it, already been introduced to it, and are familiar with it, and boys who are like, no, we're giving action figures, but the key word is action. It's not marriage figures. It's not husband figures. They're action figures. When I was growing up, and I'm an old dude, we had G.I. Joe. And so G.I. Joe kicked butt all around the world, but he was never married. So you have to take into account that, you know, we have two divergent paths. Now, when a man, you know, reaches young man's age, he's introduced to that subject of marriage, but women are already there. They've already beat him to it. They're waiting on him, and they're getting impatient because they're saying, how come you don't think like I think? You know, and so, you know, as a boy, we're like, think like you think. We just got to this party, you know, so you have that disconnect, you know, going on. And that's something to keep in mind. The other point I want to make is this. You mentioned something earlier in your talk when you talked about a biblical walk or something like that. And that is probably the biggest thing holding so many women back. They say, oh, you know, I want this biblical marriage. Well, that only works if you apply the rest of your life biblically. You know, you can't cherry pick this one scenario and say, I just want this. And then tomorrow you're like, well, you know, I'm an independent woman and all that. You can't, you know, women these days are biblical when it benefits them and independent and modern when it benefits them and freely move between both mindsets at will. As a guy, we think like, okay, you're biblical. Cool. I'm going to approach you in that way. But you've already moved. You're now your independent woman. So we're not speaking from the same script or reading the same script at all. And so you're looking like, well, why are you treating me this way? We're looking like, what the heck? You were this way yesterday. Now today is something else. What do you want me to do? You know, give me a scorecard to keep up. So you know, you have to keep all these things in mind. See, you know, we are not following you. You guys are reading from one script. We're reading from another. And now we're in a world where it's a new paradigm. Now black women have to compete. For the first time probably ever, black women have to compete for their men. And a lot of them are failing miserably. Miserably. They're saying, wait a minute, I'm a sister. I should be able to get a brother just because I'm a sister. It doesn't matter whether you've advanced yourself, whether you reach a certain degree of accolades or achievements. No, I'm a sister, so I should have a brother. It doesn't work like that anymore. You're competing against other cultures out there. And so you have to step your game up. I'm sorry. You know, there's just no way around it. You got to come to the table like a gladiator, ready to do battle. And if you're not ready to do that, then you can sit back and watch the Oprah Channel and enjoy it because you're not going to be able to survive in this life. Other cultures come to the table ready to do battle for their men. And they're doing battle for brothers, and brothers are going for it. And you may not like it, but that's the new paradigm and the new rules. So I'm going to sit back and let you guys comment. Thanks for letting me call in.
Well, thank you so much for joining. This is really getting hot. We're going to have to take this to part two next week, Love, Lies, and Relationships. Thank you so much once again, caller. Okay, I have caller ending in 5676. I give you 60 seconds to say what you had, callers. 5676. You're live.
Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
This is Ken. I don't want to be associated with Barbie, so I'm going to say my name is David. But anyway, this is indeed a great topic tonight, and I so appreciate the comments that everyone is making. Very, very valid comments. I know that, you know, as the previous caller stated, you know, the differences in how our boys are reared, it even translates into the knight in shining armor. I mean, what does a knight do but do battle? And then, you know, but every woman wants a knight in shining armor kind of thing. And then every guy wants a Cinderella. That's both in appearance and probably what a person can provide for or bring to the table, let's say it that way. But I think one of the main questions that we need to ask or try to understand is, what indeed is love? Is it that you make me feel good, or I feel good when I touch you? You feel good when I hold you or say sweet things to you. You know, I think we need to get beyond that, or at least in addition to that, we need to understand that love is indeed a commitment to a person. Now, yes, initially that involves courting, and I think I've heard on one of your shows a gentleman saying that what is courting? It's presenting your evidence. So whatever a person shows you about themselves, we need to evaluate, am I able to deal with this, or am I willing to deal with what I see here, and is what I'm seeing here all that I need to see, kind of a thing. But love, since I only have 60 seconds, is a commitment. It is, I'm going to love you regardless. If I choose to become involved in a relationship with you, I will love you regardless. But that has to be a reciprocal commitment from the other party.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Love is a lot of different things to a lot of different people. They do certain so many things in the name of love, but love is actually an emotional contract between two hearts, two people with their hearts saying, I do, I will, I shall. It's an emotional thing where you're connected, a commitment, an alliance, an agreement. So in saying that, you know, we have to really get back to the core of who we are and are we loving ourselves. If we begin to love ourselves, then we'll have the extra overflow where we can love one another and also be transparent and not be faking, like the chameleon like that I spoke about earlier in the show. And I think that will help us in a lot of areas in the relationship. But when you got two people that are being fake and not being transparent, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want to show them who I am because I really don't want to lose him or I don't want to lose her. I had a gentleman say to me, I mean, we dated for like 2 years, and after 2 years I'm like, okay, so what are we doing? And they were like, well, you know, I really don't want to get married. You know, I really don't want to do this again and this and that. I said, well, then you lied. And you thought, well, I didn't want to lose you. I said, well, then you lied. You wasted my time. You know, so, you know, we got to really identify and know what's what we want and what that other person wants, because, you know, a lot of times we say what we want, and then that person is listening, and then he adapts to what we say we want or what we act out that we want. And then at the end of the day, both parties wind up with nothing because time was wasted, and nobody has the ability to redeem time. And a lot of times we go on to that next relationship short and high-tempered because we wasted time. Free yourself, forgive yourself, move on. And do you see any closing remarks, Shirley?
All I want to say is that whatever you do, be true to yourself. Because so often we get into a relationship and we're trying to please the other person and lose ourselves. Let them see who you are. Love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. But be true to yourself. And listen when someone tells you who they are. Listen with your heart. Listen with your ears. But most of all, keep your mind open. Don't try to think about changing anyone. Accept them. Understand that they will tell you who they are. And if that person is not the person that you want, then you need to let go.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Shirley. You've been listening to Love, Lives, and Relationships, and you have been my studio audience, my guest for this evening. Join me next Tuesday on another Hot Topics from the Soul, and please email me at soultopics@gmail.com. That's soultopics@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to respond to you. If you have a topic that you want discussed, we will do it next week at Hot Topics from the Soul. Thank you, and send me a message on Facebook. Let me know how you enjoyed the show. And please go to the Blog Talk, download it, and email it to a friend or family member. This has been your host, Dr. Valerie Parker. Good night, and God bless.
Good night.